Very good morning to each of you, and appreciate those who may be visiting. Encourage you to come back any opportunity you may have. We do rejoice, as mentioned earlier, Shirley Martin was baptized this week, and if you have not met her, encourage you to do so. She's sitting right up here, and I hope that you can greet her and welcome her to the church family if you've not already done so. And not only her, but remember one another in prayer as we live in this world that has its ups and downs. Keep one another in your prayers, and as we are reminded in Scripture, let us encourage one another daily so we will not fall into sin's deceitfulness. So glad you're here. At this time, let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we rejoice in the new birth of Shirley, and Father, we thank you for her commitment, and Father, we thank you for all that have made that commitment. Help us to remember our baptism, the day that we confessed your Son as our Lord and Savior, repented of our sins, and were immersed into your Son for the remission of our sins and raised a new life. And Father, we pray that we will live out that commitment and that we will be faithful unto death, especially these trying times where we see that there are many things that can take our attention and discourage us. We pray that we can be stronger as we have made that commitment in our faith. Father, we thank you so much for the avenue of prayer. Father, we thank you that you've sent your Son to this world to die on the cross and be buried and be resurrected from the grave. And we pray that we will never take that great sacrifice for granted. Father, help us to live in such a way that we honor you. May our worship today be done in spirit and truth. And may we go away from this place, drawn closer to you, and that we can be a light to this world. Thank you so much for your Son. It's his name we pray. Amen. If you were able to get a bulletin this morning and you look inside, something a little bit different when it's regard to the sermon outline. I gave you a memory challenge. And I don't know if you've had time to do that or not, but you think about a something that we almost see, maybe on a regular daily basis, a dollar bill. Maybe we see less of them now because of the shortage and change and whatnot. But anyway, something as common as a dollar bill, how well do you know those markings? It's one thing to hold it in our hand and to use it to purchase items at the grocery store. It's another thing to look at it and remember all those symbols. There might be some of those who have very excellent recall and memory of those things, and maybe you did very well. But my guess, as I have done this little exercise with others in the past, probably most of us didn't fare too well. There's probably an item or two on the dollar bill that we may have missed. You know, our memories fail us. Sometimes we just plain forget. Maybe you heard the story about a guy, his name John, and he was out with his wife, and they were out shopping, and he ran into an old friend. And his wife continued to shop and walked a little ways on, and about that time, John and his friend began to talk, and John said to his friend, he goes, you know, I have a horrible memory. And his friend said, oh, yes. And John said, but, you know, I went to a seminar, and it helped improve my memory. And the friend said, oh, well, what was the name of that seminar? Well, John thought for a minute, and then he looked at his friend, and he said, I know it. My wife knows it. Hold on. What's a flower that has a long stem with thorns on it and a nice bud? And the friend said, well, are you talking about a rose? Yeah, rose. Hey, Rose, what was the name of that seminar? Well, sometimes we have bad memories. Sometimes it's due to health issues. Sometimes there's medical reasons. Sometimes we just don't make it important in our lives. So sometimes we have bad memories. And sometimes we try to do things to help our memories. We tie a string around our finger. We put reminders on our phone. Some of the more younger generation may use their phones as reminders, or we have calendars, all kinds of things to help us remember, but yet at the end of the day, we are quick to forget. And there's all kinds of reasons we forget. In Psalm 77, we see that it seems that what's going on is that there is a struggle. There is a situation where God is silent for one reason or another. At least the psalmist sees God as silent. And so the psalmist is distressed. Have you been there? Life is not going as well as you expected. Bad things happen. The doctor calls. It's not good news. There's something wrong with a relationship that you're in. Or maybe it's a financial issue. There's some type of situation in life and things aren't going as well as you thought. And you're stressed. You're depressed. You're distraught. That's kind of where we see the psalmist. And in the midst of this distressed situation, whatever it is, the psalmist questions God. Where is God in the time of his silence? And maybe we've asked that question as well. See, sometimes we are in a situation where things preoccupy our mind, and we sometimes put God on the back burner. And it seems as the psalmist goes through this psalm, he is trying to recall in the midst of his very difficult situation to recall the things that God has done, to remember how great God is. And sometimes we need to do that. So if you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to turn to Psalms 77. And I want to look at this morning at least three things that the psalmist teaches us to remember about the Lord. Regardless of where we are in our life situation, there are things that we must remember about the Lord. Maybe you're having a great day. Remember the Lord. Maybe you're having a bad day. Remember the Lord. Maybe there are some stresses in your life. Remember the Lord. Wherever we are, we can be able to apply this psalm. Remember the Lord. So, how are we to remember the Lord? Well, number one, remember the Lord is righteous. Remember that the Lord is righteous. Notice verse 6 through 10 of this psalm. Remember, the psalmist is distraught. There is a time of trouble. And verse 6, we'll pick it up here. He says, I call to remember my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast out off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Notice the struggle that's going on here. He's questioning God. What's going on? And so as we think about what the psalmist is doing, he's laying down at night. He's not getting rest. He's tossing and turning. He can't sleep. You've been there? You've been up all night fretting, worried, concerned, stressed out. Well, the psalmist is in that situation. And notice what he says in verse 6. I will remember my song in the night. I will meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. He is being reminded of the things that God has done, his righteousness, as he lays up on his bed, as he has there and he can't sleep, he's distraught. He meditates on the righteous works of God. Back in verse 6 or verse 5, he considers the days of old, the years of long ago. And so he asks some rhetorical questions here. God has done these wonderful things in the past. I'm paraphrasing here. And won't he continue to do that? The answer is yes. God always keeps his word. He's not going to approve of sin. He's always going to work in our world. But sometimes we don't see him working or the way we think he should work. And so sometimes in our lives, we experience similar things. God's silence. You know, when our days are confusing, as they have been, when we think about all the chaos this COVID virus has caused to our not only our congregation, our community, our world, we may experience that silence. We may be asking, "What God, what are you doing?" And in this time of chaos, we need to remember the Lord's righteousness. Remember his righteous ways. Remember as we think about what God has done throughout the ages. God has never abandoned his world. And think about it in the time of Noah, in the days when the world was destroyed by the worldwide flood. And we see that as Noah prepares the ark, a man of faith, a man of righteousness, in that time of, we could say, chaos, he remained faithful. And God brought him through that, and we're reminded of that even today. As we see that as that flood came to the conclusion, and as Noah and his family and those animals came out of the ark, we see that God put a rainbow in the sky, a promise that he will never destroy the earth by water again. So every time we see the rainbow in the sky, it's a reminder of God's righteousness, his promise to sustain his faithful people. Another reminder of God's righteous acts. A few years later in the scriptures, we jump over to Joshua. In the book of Joshua, if we're familiar with that text, understand that Joshua and the Israelites are finally getting to go in the land of Canaan. And as they're in the land of Canaan, they cross over the Jordan River. And in that, the water is stopped through an act of God. It heaps up, it stops, and they walk on Jordan River on dry land. And you remember what the Jews did to remember that? They commemorated it by putting 12 stones representing the 12 tribes. And it was to be a marker, a reminder, a monument that whenever they would pass by, they would remember that God intervened. God took care of his people. God kept his promise. Notice Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. When they picked up the stones, and Joshua is telling them, in the future when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. These are just two examples of God's righteous acts. We have a Bible full of God's righteous acts. And so when we get in those situations where we might be suffering, where we might have questions, where we might questioning God, is God working? The answer is yes, God is always working. But sometimes we need reassurance. Sometimes we need to be reminded. And so the scripture is there to remind us of God's righteous act. Remember the psalmist, he is suffering. And he remembers God's righteousness. Notice verse 6. Let me remember my song in the night. Let me remember a time when it was better, when I sang those praises to God, when I remember the goodness of God, his righteous acts. Remember. You know, nothing can be more proper than our last thoughts as we lay down at night. And what a time, whether we're going through a good time or going through a difficult time, to reflect and remember God's righteousness. You know, we often sing the song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count them and see what the Lord has done. What better place to count our blessings than we conclude our day? To remember the righteous acts of God. Look for the good. Despite what we might be going through, look for the good. It will help us to remember what the Lord has done, and he has not abandoned his people. But number two, remember the Lord's deeds. Remember the Lord's deeds. Notice in verse 11 of Psalm 77, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. We don't have to ask the Lord, is he powerful enough to deal with my situation? You know, sometimes we might ask that, but we really don't have to, because as we look at the mighty acts of God throughout the pages of Scripture, we see that his mighty hand has always worked. In Psalm 77, as we continue reading this chapter, we see that the psalmist reflects on the Red Sea. Another great example of God's righteous acts and deeds. As the Israelites came out of Egypt, We see that they were confronted with the armies of Pharaoh behind them, and we see that they were confronted with the Red Sea in front of them. What do you do? And so God provided a miracle. He told Moses to raise his hand and rod, and the sea was parted, and he walked on dry land. What a deed. What an example of God's mighty power. And by doing that, he also took care of the armies of Pharaoh. And so God's righteous deed was reminded and remembered. And the psalmist is remembering that. By the way, that was such a great act of God that not only was Israel reminded of it continually in the Psalms as well as in Scripture, but we see the nations around them. As Joshua goes into the land of Canaan, there were people still talking about that event, and they were terrified of God. And by the way, we still talk about it in the New Testament. It's a reminder of God's great act, his deeds, his intervening in our world. You know, when we read events like this in Scripture, whether it's Noah and the flood or the Red Sea crossing or Joshua, you know, we read, sometimes people read these as stories, a bedtime story for the children, or some think of them as myths that we tell maybe to feel good, or a story that you would tell around the campfire. We need to remember these are not mere stories. These are recorded accounts of God's mighty work and power. And they are recorded there for you and I to be reminded how great of God we have. Psalm 77 verse 14 says, "You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples." That is why they are recorded. That is why they are there, to remind us of the great work and working of our God. We are to remember, not just to tell a story, not just to make us feel good, not just to tell the kiddos some moral lesson. This is God's divine intervention in life, in our lives, in our world's life, in our history's example, that we have a God who acts. He is alive. He works. He is real. He is not like the idols. He is not like the false religions. He is a God who is real. And when we, like the psalmist, question if God is there, is God working, we must remember. We must remember such things as the Red Sea crossing. See, memory brings back the passion. Memory brings out that renewed interest in our love of God. Think about maybe your relationships. You remember the first time you dated your spouse. Remember the first time you saw your child when they were born. You remember? You remember your baptism? The joy that was there? You remember. And sometimes now in modern times we have pictures and we have videos, and that often helps us to remember, but sometimes we don't. And so we need to reflect and remember. And by remembering, there is a sort of passion that is united there, and it is the same with our relationship with God. See, the key to the prodigal son in Luke 15, when he was down and out and we could say hit rock bottom, he came to his senses and he remembered. What did he remember? His father's house. See, memory brings us back, and that's what the psalmist is using here, to bring back that renewed interest in God. Remember what God has done. Don't settle for this current situation of being down and out and discouraged. Remember when God worked. In Revelation 2 and verse 5, we see it's also talking about a spiritually remembering. Notice in Revelation 2, 5, it reminds us if we have fallen away, remember. So we come back. It says, therefore, from where you have fallen, remember, therefore, where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And so notice for those who have fallen away, remember come back. Remember the love you had. Remember what God has done. Come back. Remember. Remember when you first became a Christian. Remember God, how he has worked in our world in the past. David does some of this in Psalms 103. And he calls upon us not to forget. And there is at least 10 things, 10 blessings that come from memory, remembering these things, remembering how God works. He talks about forgiveness of sin in verse 3 and the healing of disease again in verse 3, redemption and love in verse 4, compassion in verse 8, inner sanctification in verse 5, righteousness and justice, revelation, long-suffering. And notice in verse 18 of this psalm, we see that this is not something that just is automatically done, but there is effort. There is a response. There is that effort on our part to remember. Memory of God's goodness and blessings do not come easily. And so we've got to put some effort. We've got to read the Bible and see where God has worked. We've got to gather around the Lord's table and remember when ultimately God, Jesus Christ, his Son, came to this world and died on our behalf. We've got to put effort, response. We think about our preaching and teaching. It takes effort not only to prepare the lessons, but also to gather around and involve ourselves in those studies. Think about worship. It takes effort to remember as we've come together in his name and our past experiences with God. You remember God answers prayers? I've already mentioned when you were baptized into Christ, remember that. Do you remember when God has worked in your life? Remember his righteous deeds. But number 3, remember the Lord's redemption. As we step back and look at the pages of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, what is going on? What is going on? We could probably say there is a lot of things that are going on, but we could probably water it down, if you would say, and just summarize it. It's the redemption of people. God trying to get the message of his love to redeem people. See, the Lord is our Redeemer. He is not our destroyer. In Psalm 77, verse 15, we see that the psalmist here says, "You with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph." The Hebrew word for redeem here carries the idea of delivering and protecting God's people. And that's what he is saying. I'm remembering when you have redeemed your people. I remember. And the word here refers to God's intentions to rescue the people, his people, from their captivity. When you think about them coming out of Egypt, the countless times that they had given up on God and an enemy had taken them into captivity throughout the book of Judges, throughout the time of the Babylonian, Assyrian captivities. But God was there, and he brought them out. The Lord has always had the best interests at hand of his people. You know, there are some times where it does seem that God is silent. I can imagine Joseph, the son of Jacob. Could you imagine what it would have been like for him to be that brother who had the ability to interpret dreams and then be ridiculed and rejected by his brother, sold into slavery? Then he was in Potiphar's house and he was lied about there, then thrown in prison. How would you like that? All this time, he probably thinks that the Lord is his destroyer. But as he goes through that process and as he rises to power and God blesses him, we see in Genesis 50 that Joseph understands that what his brothers intended as evil, God intended for good to save many lives. You know, God is always there, has the best interest of our spiritual lives at hand, and sometimes it doesn't seem like it. But we must remember that God is always our Redeemer. His plan of the ages has been and is to redeem people for himself. Whether it was the time they came out of Egypt, where it was Moses leading them out, or if it was Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection to ultimately bring us to redemption, we see he works in our world to redeem. As the psalmist remembers redemption of Israel, we must never forget our redemption in Jesus Christ. Remember our deliverance and our freedom from slavery to sin. This is what Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18 reminds us of. In response to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we need to remember also that Jesus is redeeming us. We need to remember our redemption is not only delivers us from sin, but also gives us a new identity in Christ. And so we are called children of God. We're called the temple of God in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Remember, our new identity is a result of our surrender to Jesus Christ as we surrender to him in baptism, Romans 6, 4 and 6. And so no wonder Paul begins that chapter by saying, basically, do you remember your baptism? It's a special event. It's a meaningful time. It's about connecting with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's about our redemption, our freedom from sin, our deliverance. We must always remember. But fourth and finally, as a way of application, remembering is not enough. What good is it, guys, if you go to the grocery store, you remember that you need to pick up something. Your wife tells you maybe you need to pick up some spaghetti or something for tacos or whatever you're eating that night, and you remember that you need to pick that up, but you don't do it. Is that going to keep you out of the doghouse? Memory must cause us to act. And so it is that we just don't remember God's righteousness. We just don't remember his deeds. We just don't remember his redemption. We act upon that memory. And so we need to, three things we can do, give thanks. Number one, give thanks. If we understand and remember God's righteousness, his action, his redemption, give him thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks. And so maybe we're having a difficult time, but we remember God is good. Give thanks, for God has been there for you in the past. He will be there in that day, in that moment. Give thanks. Give thanks to Almighty God. Maybe you've heard the story of the theologian and commentator Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry is said to have been robbed one day. His wallet was stolen from him. And he had these four responses to that event. He said, number one, I'm thankful that he never robbed me before. Number two, I'm thankful that although he took my wallet, he did not take my life. Number three, although he took all I had, it was not much. And number four, I am glad it was I who was robbed and not I who did the robbing. What an attitude. In our circumstances that we may face in life, whether it's a result of this COVID-19 or maybe it's a lost job or maybe a number of other things that take place, give thanks to the Lord, and may we have that type of attitude that I'm trying to be the person God needs me to be. But number two, resolve to walk in God's ways. As we think about this memory, that God works through obedient people. That's how God was able to bring about those eight people through the flood, because Noah was righteous. And we could say the same thing with the children of Israel going through the Red Sea. We could say that with Joshua entering the land of Canaan, and countless other examples. God works best in obedient people. And so when we remember God's righteousness, when we remember his deeds, his works, his acts, when we remember his redemption, remember to walk, and not just remember, walk in His way. Be obedient. The memory of God's grace should spur each one of us to a firm decision and direction to do His will, regardless of the cost. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we are reminded of the great cloud of witnesses. It's following that hall of fame of faith of people in chapter 11. And basically, we could say that what the writer is saying there, these people did it, so can you. Don't give up. They had great faith. You too have great faith. So when we remember God's work, we must also walk in His ways. Be obedient. And number three, be devoted to prayer. The psalmist ends in Psalm 77 by saying, putting my trouble in your hands, and I will trust you to do what you think is best, basically. And so the psalmist comes to the conclusion that even though he is wrestling with something that's very difficult in his life, and he questions God and he remembers God, he says, basically, I don't put it in your hands. Remember, the psalms are prayers unto God. And so as we think about prayer, as we think about all the righteous things that God is doing, remember to stay connected to Him in prayer. Paul ties God's power to acts of prayer in Ephesians 3, verse 20, by saying, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your trials are. Maybe you're having a good time. Maybe this is the best time of your life. But wherever you are, can I challenge you, encourage you to keep praying? Keep allowing God to work in your life. Remember His truth. Remember He is truth. And remember to continue to pray. As we conclude this morning, I want to share one last story with you to help maybe help apply this lesson, to help us remember. There is a story told, and it's entitled The King's Chamber of Memory. It's about a certain Persian king was, from the time he was a child, was actually born into poverty. And he had a very difficult childhood, but through his life, he was able to rise to the glory of the throne and become king. After he had been king for some time, he sent his servants to his old shack out in the desert. And he ordered them to bring everything that they could from this shack. And so they brought fragments from his home, his little shack, broken toys, patched shirts, crude wooden bowls, spoons, worthless items to you and I and to all who saw. But the king had them brought and put them in a room in his palace as a reminder. And it said in the story that each day he would spend an hour remembering where he came from, his humble beginnings. And he put on that room, lest I forget. In a similar way, we need to remember where God has brought us from. From sinner to saint, to one who was an enemy of God, to one who is now in Christ, living faithfully. Remember how God has worked in our life, lest we forget. And so it is, the psalmist is reminding us, remember. And may we not just remember, but may we act upon what God has done. May we be His people, obedient, faithful, following Him all the days of our life. It may be that you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. Let me encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, to repent of your sins, put Christ on in baptism, and to become the person that God needs you to be, wants you to be, someone that can be called a child of God. And maybe you've done that for some reason. Maybe you stopped remembering. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need to have a moment to a prayer to get back with God. If you need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come.